Hello, my love, and a surprise welcome back to the Queen of Pep Talks podcast. Happy Wednesday. That is when I am releasing this podcast episode. It is Tuesday afternoon, and I am recording this for you because I want to share this really incredible goodie with you and talk to you about what is coming up and what has been going on and all of the things. But first of all, how are you today? Are you doing well? I hope that you are doing well. And as always, if you are not doing well, I hope that you can trust that you are going to be okay. I am sending you so much love. I have missed you. I have missed being here on this podcast. It has been a crazy couple of weeks. I've had a ton of stuff going on, but I want to celebrate with you that yesterday I anchored in officially crossing $50,000 cash for the month of July, which means for the last 12 consecutive months, my business has generated every single month over $50,000 in cash, which is just absolutely bananas. I can't believe that it has been almost an entire year since I left my corporate job. It's been the craziest 12 months. It has literally been the craziest 12 months within my business, and not just within my business, but within my life and the growth that I've experienced in my life and how I have just changed as a person, how I have grown as a coach, how I have grown just in the way that I handle hardships in my life, in my attitude and my perspective. So much has changed, and I am so incredibly grateful for all of it. And I'm so excited to actually have the opportunity to witness how I have changed in the last 12 months, because you have probably heard, if you've seen me talking about it on Instagram, I am bringing back the No Secrets training, which this was the first ever business masterclass that I did last year in August of 2020. And this August, I am bringing back part two. This was the first time that I ever spoke about my business. I ever shared anything about how I started my business or how I began with physical products or how I created my first program. And I am so excited to see how different I show up 1 year later. I remember the fear, the lack of confidence, the worry. I was just at that point in time getting comfortable really showing up, coaching live. And over the last 12 months, I have done so much. I've created 6 or 7 programs. I've run over 10, I think 11, 12 masterclasses. I've run multiple masterminds. I've helped women make like over $60,000 I've helped women make, which is just absolutely crazy, and building businesses of their own from the ground up, women coming to me with not even an idea of a business and then making thousands of dollars in their own businesses. It's been the most insane year, and I'm so grateful for all of it. And I'm so grateful to bring back No Secrets Part 2. So this is your official invitation to join us. The price today is $88. The price will be going up to $99 on Friday. So if you desire to get inside, $88, and this is going to be a 1-day masterclass event where you will get the opportunity to quite literally ask me anything about building a business. So whether you are a woman who is curious about what it takes to build an online business, whether strategy of how to get started or mindset that you need in order to be a successful entrepreneur in the beginning stages, or you're a woman who already has a business of her own, maybe you have a couple of products or a couple of programs or offers that you're already currently running, and maybe you're making some money in your business, but you're wanting to develop your product suite and really start to scale your business. Maybe you're just like, I don't even know if I want a business, but I want to be in the energy of women who desire to build businesses and see if it's something for me. Lately, I've been leaning more than ever into these feelings of walking in my purpose and how I get to wake up every day of my life just so grateful for the work that I get to do and the change that I get to create in my life. And as I was celebrating this milestone yesterday and today on social media, so often I share the money, right? Because I want to inspire women who are running businesses of their own to see what's possible. I want to be proof and evidence that this type of financial success is available to women who are entrepreneurs and building businesses of their own. But this isn't about the money for me. I believe that you do get to do both. I believe that you get to make a lot of money and create even more impact. I have always led with impact over everything, and I always, always will. I'm a very heart-centered person who cares about transformation over everything. I really want to help women create radical transformation in their lives. And that's really the driving force of all of this. Like, for the last 12 months, I have been a woman who has been consistent in showing up and taking action and doing work that lights her heart and soul on fire. And I get to create radical transformation in the lives of women who come into my world. and I get to make a lot of money that allows me to create financial security and stability for my future. Like, that for me is walking in my purpose. I'm doing something that lights me up. I'm doing something that is creating impact, and I get to have the financial benefit of doing what I love and helping change people in this world. And I just want to invite you to, for a moment, think about if you are somebody who feels like you're meant for more than you are likely meant for more, and that gets to be okay. If you have a desire that says, I don't want to work for somebody for the rest of my life, or I'm cool with my job. This is how I felt. I'm cool with my job. I love my job, a great job, but I want to have a sense of fulfillment and do something that actually lights me up as well. That's why I did both for so long. I didn't hate my job. I love my job. It was a great job, but I also wanted a sense of walking in my purpose and having that deep fulfillment. So if you would like to join us, whether you have a million questions, one question, or no questions and just want to be in the energy, whether you barely have an idea for a business, have no idea for a business, or already have a business, whether you want to have a business of your own or you're part of an MLM, this is literally open to every single human being who is curious about what it takes to scale your business to multiple six figures. I'm very close to the $1 million mark in the lifetime of my business, and I'm under 2 years in business, which is just absolutely insane. And the last year of growth, like I said, in myself, in who I embody being, in who I am as a coach, and financially within my business, it's all grown so much. So I'd love to invite you to join us. This is happening on Thursday, August 6th. So just a little over a week away, $88. Price goes up on Friday. Literally get to ask me anything, lifetime access to this training. And today I'm going to share with you, this is not the No Secrets Part 1 training, but this is even more special, actually. This is a Q&A that I did inside of my Spark Mastermind. So my high-level business clients, every week they get an opportunity to drop questions and get a live training from me. And today I'm going to share with you a Q&A that I created for them. And it's incredibly powerful. And there are so many, I think, really powerful takeaways. If you're a woman who's interested in what it's like to learn from me inside of a closed container, if you're a woman who's interested to see what it's like to work with me inside of a closed container, to see how I speak to and work with my high-level clients, this is going to be a really beautiful opportunity for you and for you to get some fun and free information on building a business of your own inside of this training. Particularly, we talk about pricing, we talk about selling on stories, we talk about one-on-one coaching, we talk about a ton of mindset stuff. It's really, really powerful. So buckle up, enjoy. It's a longer one. I think it's about 45 minutes. So I hope that you enjoy. Again, if you want to be inside of No Secrets Part 2 and have the opportunity to ask me questions related, anything related to mindset and business strategy, this is your opportunity to pick my brain. It is going to be so much fun. I love you to pieces. I hope you enjoy this Q&A sesh, and I'll talk to you guys soon. Hello, hello. Hi, Mikey. Hello, my loves, and happy Saturday. Welcome to your next pep talk inside of the Spark Mastermind. I am so excited to be here with you. Okay, let's jump right into the questions. Brandy asks, stories, what the F to write on our program slides? So, yes, thank you so much, Nicole. So, Brandy, my perspective around this is that, number one, our marketing and selling is so much more than just our marketing slides. I believe that they're important, but I also don't think that they're necessarily the end-all be-all to our programs or our launches. Before I talk about the things that I put on mine, good morning, Stacey. What I do want to say is that a lot of times we will continue to use the same marketing slides over and over and over, either within one launch or within separate launches for the same program. And what I really want to encourage you guys to do, because I found this to be important for myself in my own business, is use different sets of marketing slides. When I first started doing MBS, my slides didn't look the way that they do now. They were very generic. There was no branding like I was sharing inside of Voxer earlier today. I didn't have branding. But what I did was I used different language on every set of marketing slides as I sold, and I would cycle through different sets of slides. Because the thing is, the language that we're using on the set of slides may touch and reach certain people, but that language is not touching certain people. So let's use different language across different sets of marketing slides in order to touch people who need to hear things differently. But again,
the way that you're selling and the way that you're marketing is so much bigger than just your marketing slides. How are you talking about the program? What are the client testimonials that you're sharing? What is the content that you're posting around the program, right? Is your content on your feed in alignment with what you are selling? These are all things to be thinking about. But the things that I like to include on mine are who this program is for, what they're going to get inside, what they're struggling with right now, how they're going to feel on the other side of the program, when we begin, and a call to action. And then if there are any perks or bonuses around like pre-sale or early bird or when those things are ending, or like the first certain number of people in get a bonus or sign up before X date or whatever, any of those types of things I will include on my slides. But then definitely a call to action. Just talking about it isn't enough because, like I was saying earlier, people are not as smart as we want to give them credit for. People need to be told what to do. If we want somebody to engage with our content, let's ask them to engage with our content, whether it's DM me to get inside, swipe up, link in my bio. Is this you? Like opening a conversation for somebody to come in and say, like, you can ask, did you resonate with this? Do you feel this? Leave a question box. Like encourage somebody with a call to action to engage with you, especially when you're selling. Those are the things that I put on my marketing slides. I think that having a variety of language to use is very powerful, but I also think if you haven't done voice of customer research, I would encourage you to do that because I think it can be really powerful to learn verbiage or words that are going to really hit the person who you're trying to speak to. And take yourself back. Like many of us, all of us, we are a recent version of our ideal client. So who we used to be 6 months ago, a year ago, 5 years ago, that's the woman that we want to help. So ask yourself before you started doing this work that you're going to help somebody with inside of this container, how are you feeling? What would you wanted to have been told was an opportunity for you to say yes to yourself, to be able to learn to change the behaviors or the thoughts or the actions or whatever it is that you're helping people with inside of this program? What would you have wanted? How could somebody have spoken to you that would have encouraged you to take the leap, right? And again, with this work specifically, especially because many of us are working with people who aren't used to investing in themselves, talking about that fear around investing, talking about the way that you invest in yourself, one of the most powerful things that we can do is be proof of the fact that we aren't just like talking the talk, right? We're walking the walk by doing the work in our own lives and hiring help in our own lives as well. Okay. Good morning, Melanie. Okay, Stacy asks, even though I'm trying hard to ride the momentum of my consistency this month, I find myself still having frequent limiting voices in my head saying that I don't have what it takes to make it as a coach and having a lot of doubt that I provide value and am worth it. Or maybe I've made unrealistic expectation for how amazing the first time I'm doing things should be. I guess a pep talk on how to truly believe and trust in myself in the moments where anxiety is trying to tell me that I shouldn't. So I think we were talking a little bit about this inside of Voxer yesterday, Stacy, but the truth is there are still times now where I question, am I capable of doing this? Am I actually a good coach? Like, are my clients lying to me? Like, do they actually, like, am I actually helping them? That limiting belief, that voice in my head, it has yet to completely go away, and I don't know if it ever will. But the thing that I have realized is that I believe personally, that belief in myself can only come when I have proof or evidence. And the way that we develop proof and evidence to reinforce and reaffirm beliefs is by taking action. So it's nice for you to be able to sit there and tell yourself like, okay, no, you are actually capable of doing this. You do have the ability to do this. You are a good coach. But the only way to actually prove and reinforce and reaffirm that belief within yourself is through taking action. So really acknowledging the fact that that voice can exist, but it doesn't have to be the determining factor of how you show up and behave in your life. Can you hear that voice in your head and still take action? Yes, of course you can because you've been doing it, right? The voice doesn't have to completely go away in order for you to take the action that's leading you in the direction of where you want to go. And like I was saying yesterday, I don't believe there's ever going to be an amount of external validation that is going to be able to keep me going because I have a lot of clients and I have a lot of clients who tell me that I've changed their life. And many of you inside of this mastermind thank me on a regular basis for being such an important person in your life. I still have thoughts of, can I do it? Am I good at this? Like, there are moments in my life where I'm still questioning my business. I'm like, what am I doing? Can I do this? Am I capable of doing this? It's never going to completely go away for me, I don't believe. But I also know that those thoughts and limiting beliefs can still exist. But the only way that I'm going to continue to minimize them is by proving to myself otherwise. Because I believe that every time we hear a limiting belief, so the voice in your head tells you, Stacey, you shouldn't do this. You're not a good coach. Don't run this new masterclass that you're thinking about, or don't open the doors for this mini mine that you're thinking about, right? You hear that, you feel that, you believe that, and then you behave in accordance. What did you just do? You just reaffirmed the belief because the voice told you you can't do it. And you're said, you're right. I can't do it. So I'm not going to do it. The only way that we can actually get that voice to quiet down and lessen is by continuing to prove to ourselves, this voice can be present, but I'm going to prove you wrong. I'm going to show you otherwise. I'm going to hear you. I'm going to acknowledge you, but I'm still going to show up and do the things that will allow me to create a new system of beliefs for myself. And it's easier said than done, because sometimes that anxiety feels so loud and those feelings feel so loud. And maybe in those moments, it isn't the time for you to say, okay, I'm overcome with anxiety right now and I feel like I just can't do this. Maybe that is not the moment for you to say, I'm going to show up and sell today. But at the end of the day, when those feelings begin to lessen, who you are for you matters so much. And are you going to allow that voice that was present in your head to be the thing that continues to hold you back? Because what you're thinking about yourself is not true. So what I will do when I have these thoughts in my head of like, you're not a good coach or you're not capable of doing this, I will ask myself, Jessica, who told you that? Who told you that you're not a good coach? Who told you that you are not built for this? Who told you that you are not capable of doing this? Who told you that you actually suck? Who told you any of these things? Nobody. Nobody but me. I'm the one creating the narrative. So if I created that narrative, guess what? That means that I get to flip the script and create a new narrative where I can empower and believe in myself. And even if in moments it feels a little bit fake, like, can I actually believe this? Because I know the voice in the back of my head is telling me that I can't. I can still continue to work on improving my system of beliefs. Always, always, always. So I think that expecting that voice to completely go away is an unrealistic expectation. I think that you have to give yourself permission to build your system of beliefs. You haven't been doing this work that you're doing. You've been coaching for a while, but this work that you're doing, you're really putting yourself out there in a brand new way. Can we stop, even to myself, can I stop telling myself that 2 years in, I'm supposed to be a multimillionaire? Can I stop telling myself that 2 years in, I'm supposed to know it all? Can I stop telling myself that 2 years in, I should be further along than I am? Can we stop telling ourselves that in the first 6 months of our businesses, we should have it all figured out and we should be so confident and our belief in ourselves should be rock solid? Let's stop telling ourselves that that's supposed to be the expectation, and let's normalize that all of these feelings that we're having, it's okay. But the only way that we can improve the belief and the confidence within ourselves is through continued action. Okay. I'm so happy, Stacey. I love you too. Feel the fear and do it anyway. Yes. Nicole says, sounds like you caught the Amy. Is she lying? Yes. Is she lying? Yes. Give yourself time to build your system, your new system of beliefs. 100%. Good morning, Brandy. How are you, my love? Okay. Let's make sure that I said everything I wanted to say there. Okay. I think I did. Emily asks, pep talk on how to give myself as much grace as I'd give my clients or my mastermind sisters when I can't show up live to as much coaching as I'd ideally like to, please and thank you. I relate to this so much, Emily. I was actually just having a conversation with myself this morning about this because I have missed 3 in a row mastermind calls for the mastermind that I am a part of. And this is the first time, like, I've been in the mastermind almost a year now, and that whole year I missed 1 call, and then I missed 3 back to back because I literally just wasn't home. I was on vacation, and then I think the week before I had a call or something. And I was talking to myself this morning and realizing, I think a big part of the reason that I feel the way that I do lately, where my energy has been a little bit low, is because I haven't been leaning into my support as much as I want to. So I think that our perspective around, like, if you want to be live for more things, then amazing. How can you create that availability for yourself? But if that's not really what you desire and you're just beating yourself up for the sake of beating yourself up, what I would encourage you to do and what I do for myself when I'm in a place where I'm being a little bit harsh towards myself is I will start to role play. This is really weird. But I will act like I am not myself and I will come to myself. People probably think I'm crazy. If people watched me like alone, they would think I was fucking nuts. I will come to myself as somebody else with what I'm feeling. And I will pretend that I'm a client or a friend or somebody that I love. It doesn't matter. I don't necessarily give the person like a role. I just pretend that I'm somebody outside of myself coming to me and telling myself what's going on. So I would say to myself like, man, you know, I've been on vacation and I was really busy. I had my own coaching containers and I just wasn't able to make the last couple of trainings that I really wanted to be a part of. I wasn't able to make them live and I feel like really bad about it. And to feel like this conversation is coming from somebody outside of me, I'm able to realize, wow, you deserve compassion and grace, not shame and guilt and disappointment and sadness. And it allows me to have a conversation outside of myself because it's so easy. We have trained ourselves to immediately go to a place of shame and sadness and disappointment and frustration when we're not being who we want to be for ourselves. But as you know, if somebody in the mastermind was to come to you and say like, Emily, I missed these last couple of calls, you'd be like, it's okay. Like, we're all still here. Like, there's still weeks left. Like, you can show up, come to the next one if you can. Like, if not, the replay is available. Like, you can catch it, go watch it. Like, be in it the best that you can be in it. Don't judge yourself for not being there when you weren't able to be there. So if you can come to yourself from an outside perspective and speak to yourself as if you were somebody else, and then take that advice, I think that that could be really powerful for you. But it's like, I believe that we get to be disappointed in ourselves when we're not actually being who we want to be. And that's how I was feeling. So there's no shame there. There's no like, I'm so mad at you. There's no beating myself up, but it's like, Jessica, you do really want to do better. So let's make sure that we're leaning into support. And if you can't make the mastermind calls, how about you just come into the Voxer more often and connect with your mastermind sisters and connect with your coach and get the support that you need rather than retreating and just being like, well, I haven't been present for the calls and I'm not catching up in the Voxer. So I really don't want to come in here for support, right? Because we're all human and we all feel that way. But it's like, again, with that all or nothing thinking, okay, maybe I missed the calls, but the Voxer is available 24/7. Even if it's midnight and nobody is awake, I can go into the Voxer and leave what I need and then wake up in the morning and get the support that I'm looking for. So release the all or nothing thinking. Forgive yourself for maybe being unavailable or just not making it a priority and deciding, who do I want to be for myself moving forward? Because tearing yourself down for what's already happened, it's not going to lend to you actually improving your life. It's just going to make you feel worse. But role play, that's what I would say. Come to yourself as if you were somebody else. Give yourself the advice that you need to hear as if the somebody else is you, but you're outside of yourself. Like, pretend that it's Nicole coming to you and sharing how you're feeling. And then you can give her the love and support. And then you can feel that for yourself. Another thing that I think is so powerful to do is when we're in a place of feeling really good towards ourselves, let's voice note. This is something that I've been implementing with my private clients, and I talk about it in Integration Keys. If you're feeling amazing, can you send a voice note to yourself and say like, hey, you're doing so good right now and everything is going to be okay. And that gives you an opportunity when you're feeling low or beating yourself up to hear yourself in a high energy place, encourage and empower and support yourself, right? That's so empowering because sometimes when we're in that energetic place where we just feel like shit, it's hard to be the person who's encouraging ourselves. But when you're in an incredible place, can you record a voice note to yourself that says like, hey, Emily, we know that sad times are coming, or we know that there are going to be times in the future where we beat ourselves up and we feel disappointed or we feel sad or we feel frustrated. This is a reminder for you that you're not a bad person, that everything is okay, that you're doing the best that you can, that you deserve to give yourself grace and permission and support and empower yourself. Can you give that to yourself? That way, when you feel low, it's like, ooh, I get to hear myself, empower myself. Even though I don't feel it right now, I once felt it and I know that I'm going to feel it again, but when I need it the most, I have it accessible in my hand to listen to. It can be really, really powerful for you. Please tell me you have costume changes. I do not have costume changes. That would be a lot of work. That would be a whole lot of work. Yes, very, very powerful. Okay. Amy asks, I find myself having to really think of how to naturally talk about my offer daily. Sometimes it feels forced and doesn't flow. When you start each day on your stories, do you kind of plan a topic that will segue into you talking about the offer? It has just felt weird lately. Maybe it's insecurity. So the first part of this, Amy says, sometimes it feels forced and it doesn't flow. First thing I want to say to that is, for me personally, when it feels forced and it's not flowing, I don't do it. So if I show up on stories and I'm trying to talk and it's like I'm stumbling over my words and I can't get things out the way that I want to, or I'm not communicating in a way that feels really powerful and in alignment for me, it doesn't happen. It's like, okay, phone down, let's go do something else, get ourselves back into a better feeling place, and then we'll come back and we'll try again. I do not force myself to do things when they feel out of alignment, because when I feel my energy is off, I believe that my energy is resonated with other people as feeling off, and that doesn't feel good for me. Then you ask, when you start each day on your stories, do you kind of plan a topic that will segue into you talking about the offer? So I don't ever plan ahead. Like, I don't have a content calendar that says, this is what I'm going to talk about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Like, I don't do that. What I do personally is I like to talk about what's real and what's happening in my life, both on my stories and on my feed. So I know your next question was around feed, so maybe these two will kind of tie together. But I don't ever think ahead about what am I going to talk about. What I do is I think about, what am I selling? What is my offer based around right now? And how can I create something that is true to me in this moment that is going to be really powerful in connection to my offer? So a lot of times I will storytell around something that's real in my life, something that I'm going through, and then how the work that I do with my clients has helped me in my own life. And then that's a beautiful segue into talking about my offer. I will also talk about conversations that I have with my clients. Like, if we're talking about something that's really powerful, either in here or with a private client or in a group coaching container, I will open up by talking about it and say, wow, like, this work is so incredible. Like, we had this conversation around fill in the blank and it was so, so powerful. And then that leads into an opportunity for me to say, like, this work that I do with my clients is so special and I would love to invite you into my next group coaching program or my mastermind or my private coaching container, because this is what the work looks like. And it doesn't always have to be talking, right? Amy, you personally reached out to me yesterday about private coaching based off of slides that I shared. So I had a conversation yesterday with a private client who is a mindset and emotional eating client. And we were talking, we'd only been working together for 3 days. And she was like, holy shit, she's in all of my group coaching programs. And she's like, this is more than I ever fucking imagined. Like, this is so good. So all I did was pull a little clip from her voice note, share it in my stories and say, this is the power inside of private coaching. It's next level. The energy, it can't be matched. This is so good. And then I started talking about on story slides, like not me talking, my private coaching containers. I had like 5 or 6 people reach out about them. Nobody signed up, but that's okay because they have the bug in their ear about my private coaching and what that looks like. It doesn't always have to be you necessarily showing up and talking about them in order for you to share, right? Like, you get to show up and share your offers in any way that feels authentic for you. It doesn't have to look just one way. It doesn't have to be just you talking. It doesn't have to be just the professional marketing slides. It gets to be a colored slide with text on it that says, holy shit, just had the most amazing conversation with my mastermind sisters. We're talking about this, and this is the power of mentorship. Like, it doesn't have to always be this big fancy thing when it comes to how we show up and talk about our offers. But I do think that a big piece of this for you right now with Redefine is the fact that you're not receiving the external validation that we all so often look for. So of course it breeds that insecurity. So it's like, I've been talking about the same thing over and over and over, and I'm not getting any interest. Nobody's hearing, nobody's listening, nobody's showing up, nobody's buying. What is the point? So of course it gets you in your head about it. So I would encourage you to ask yourself, like, are you really excited to continue talking about this offer? And if you're not, how can you re-engage that excitement? Maybe it's a matter of going back and reading testimonials from clients. That's something that always helps me get back to a centered place where I can realize, like, wow, like, the work that I'm doing really makes a difference. Or maybe it's going into your workbook and looking through your workbook and just being like, wow, this program is so amazing. Or looking at the outlines that you have and just being like, wow, this is going to be so fucking powerful. And getting yourself into a place, like, the time that I love to promote my offers the most is when I'm working on them. So most of the time when I show up on stories, it's when I'm in my office midday when I've been working on something, because when I'm working on it, I see the power that I'm creating and I'm just like, whew, this is going to be so good. So of course the energy that I show up with is like, oh my God, guys, like if you're not inside of this program, you are missing out because this is about to be next level fire, right? Like even yesterday, I posted a picture of the recording that I did for the money program. I didn't actually promote it, but I reminded people new money program is coming and the meditations that are in here, they're fucking fire. Like the program is going to be so good, right? So it doesn't always have to be this big thing to talk about your offers. I believe that we can sell without selling. Like I can talk about something that's coming without necessarily selling it and giving a call to action, but it's still putting that bug in somebody's ear like, oh, that money program, she's talking about it again. Oh, she said it's going to be really good. Oh, there are money meditations in there. Oh, maybe I want to be a part of that. So then when I do show up and say, hey guys, new program is here. Here's the branding. Here's the sales page. Let's go. They're going to be like, oh, I'd already thought about that a couple times because I saw her talking about it. So I don't believe that it always has to look the same exact way. Be creative, have fun with it, and this will come and develop over time for you. We have to stop expecting that we like can do all of these like creative things at the very beginning. I wouldn't have been able to do this on day one or month one or month two or month three, probably. It's taken me 2 years to get to this place where I feel more creative because I'm used to doing what I've been doing. So it's like, oh, what's the next level fun thing that I can do within my business? And I trust that it's just going to keep getting better, but we have to be okay with like being exactly where we are, but being creative, stepping out of the box, paying attention to the way that I sell, the way other people who you buy from and love to buy from, how do they sell? What is fun for them? Can you try it in your business and see if it's fun for you? Somebody messaged me yesterday and was like, what is a sneaky offer and why do you talk about it like this? Why don't you just share like what the thing is? And I'm like, because this is fun for me. Like it's fun for me to promote in a way that people don't know what's going on. That's fun for me. And I'm going to do what's fun for me. Like not that I don't care about my audience, but if you want details, you know how to send a DM and say, details please, right? So do things that feel fun for you, okay? Yes. Oh, thank you. Selling without selling. I love it. FOMO is so real. Thank you. Practice. And it's just only going to keep getting better. I know that there is a lot of room for improvement in my skill set and my business and me as a human being and all of it. It's just like when I stopped expecting to know it all and have it all figured out and just allow myself to take messy action and continue to take messy action, it's been so powerful. It's been so powerful because people want to connect with human beings. They want to know what you have, and it doesn't always need to be packaged up beautifully with a bow in high-end branding in order for them to feel connected to you. So play around with things. A lot of times people will feel more connected to an authentic conversation where you then bring up the program. They're going to feel more connected to that than they will branding, right? Or marketing slides. People buy for different reasons. People feel connected to different things. So let's play around and speak to people in as many different ways as we can and allow them the opportunity to connect with us in a way that's going to feel really authentic for them. Okay. Okay. Amy's next question says, I literally draw a blank when thinking about creating content. I know I have a lot to offer, but can't think of what info to share. Do you have any suggestions as what would be a best place to start? I started saving posts that I see that I'd like to recreate my spin on them, but just wondering if you had any other ideas. I'd love to do a daily thing like 10 days of just not sure where to start. I've never really been intentional about content. So I relate to this so much, and I think Stacey and I were talking about this earlier in the mastermind, where when you have a weight loss transformation, you don't necessarily have to be intentional about content because those photos are so quickly reshared that it's really easy to grow a following when you have a weight loss transformation. Or if you're somebody who shares booty pics, it's really easy to grow a following because people love to look at asses and people love to look at titties and people love to look at skinny girls in bikinis. Like there are certain things I believe on Instagram that do help you build a following more quickly. Some of them I'm not willing to participate in them. I had a weight loss transformation, so it helped my following grow, right? But you're at a place now where you do want to be more intentional with your content. So it's time. The things that I would think about is like, if you want to create a content calendar where maybe you take 2 hours on a Sunday and you sit down, I tried this one time. It was the month that I started MBS, I tried to sit down and create a calendar for myself on what I was going to post and what I wanted to talk about and all those things. And I stuck to it for like 3 days. And I was like, my energy just does not mesh well with this. So the thing that I would have you ask yourself is like, what is real and true to me right now? That is what I love to talk about, but that doesn't mean that has to be the way that you run your business. Maybe you are going to thrive off of having a calendar, but you're not going to know unless you try. So there are tons, and this is not my area of expertise or specialty, but there are tons of social media coaches out there. If you just Google it, like you can find content calendars from people, like downloadable 150 content ideas for like $30. So maybe it's a benefit for you to go on the internet and find a coach that offers content calendars and like 150 like ideas. I think there are some that are like scroll stoppers or like hooks that engage. Like there are so many different coaches out there who specialize in social media who will provide you content ideas. And I think it for like $20 or $30, it might be worth trying that out to see if that's something that works for you. It's hard for me to help in that space because it's just not something that I've ever tried or ever worked for me. I did try it and it just didn't work for me. But what I would ask yourself is like, what are the conversations that you're having with clients? What are the conversations that you're having with yourself? What are the conversations that you're having with mentors? What are the conversations that you're having with colleagues? These are all things that are present in your life right now. What are you working through? What have you given up? What have you stepped away from? What are the changes that you have made that like have you feeling like a brand new person? Like talk about, it doesn't have to be, not every caption has to be like 15 paragraphs long and your whole life story. But I think that for me, it's always talking about what is real. Like what is real in my life right now? What am I going through? What are people going to resonate with me on? What are the conversations that I'm having with my clients? What are the things that you guys are talking about? Paying attention to what are your clients struggling with? Because those are people who have already bought from you. So how can we talk about that, right? Recently, I did a post about taking your coach off a pedestal that was based off of a conversation that I had with many of you from in this mastermind. Think about what are the conversations that you're having? What are you working on in your own life? What is real and true to you right now? What are you going through? What are your clients going through? Create a list of those things. And those are all really incredible content ideas for you to share in a way that feels authentic for you. Stacy says a lot of them are doing versions of that for free using Reels content ideas. Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. There are so many social media experts. That's not my expertise. Social media is definitely not my expertise. But there are so many coaches out there who can give you tons of, or just Google content ideas for Instagram. And I'm sure there are hundreds of blog posts out there, probably freebies that you can download. But again, it's not just about in taking that information. It's then about implementing, paying attention to how your audience is responding, paying attention to how you feel in creating content that way. But the thing that always works best for me when I don't know what I want to talk about is what's real in my life right now. What's happening? What am I going through? And how is there a lesson in that that the past version of me needs so that I can show my audience how somebody who has done this work handles it based on how I would have handled it in the past. I always save those posts and then never use them. Yep. It's easy to click save. It's hard to create the content. Okay. Nicole says, I'm feeling a pull to re-engage in my Facebook community. I'm honestly a bit nervous. I have so much I'd like to pour into the community, free masterclasses, monthly group coaching, and or live Q&As, exclusive deals on my offers. I want this to eventually be my warmest audience. I know we've talked about reactivating a Facebook group before, but I love a pep talk around it. I don't know why I'm feeling so nervous. So Nicole, my feeling around this is that you're probably nervous because number one, there's either an expectation of how it's going to be received, or number two, there's a fear of like, I'm going to reengage this community and it's still going to be dead. Like nobody's really going to want to post in here. All of the things that we create based off of the expectation. And then maybe we feel like, oh, people are judging me because I was MIA. Whatever the story that you're telling yourself about this is, I think that getting clear on that and like being able to release that is going to be really powerful for you. But number two, like you went into this saying, I'm feeling a pull to do this. I really want this to be my warmest audience. If you really want it, why would you allow yourself to stop yourself from doing it? What is the thing that you're actually afraid of happening? What are you afraid of happening if you re-engage this Facebook community? Because I don't think that the issue here is like, you can invite people and you can share content in there and you can make this your warmest audience by really engaging with these people. But what are you afraid of? If you really want to do this and you want this to be the place where you show up most frequently and you really create deep and intimate connection with people and you're sharing things in there that you would share for free just for yourself, just to document your life, just to share your growth. If these are things that you really want to do in there, then what are you afraid of? What is the expectation or the judgment that you're afraid of happening? Honestly, it not becoming my warmest audience after pouring into it. But if you, again, this is all comes down to expectation. It all comes down to expectation. It's like when we expect something, so you expect that it's going to become your warmest audience. But what if you shifted your perspective to say, this may become my warmest audience. It may not, but I want to share in here because I want to share in here. I'm posting in here and sharing vulnerably because it's an opportunity for me to document my life and for me to document my growth and for me to impact one person who is inside of this community with no expectation that it's going to become anything, just doing it because you want to do it. Doing it because you want to do it, inviting people to join, not sabotaging yourself, sharing your truth in there, creating connection in there the best that you can, and then allowing it to become what it becomes. Because is it in your control if it's your warmest audience? No. But is it in your control how often you show up in there and post? Yes. Is it in your control if it becomes your warmest audience? No. Is it up to you how intimately you connect with these people and how often you have conversations or how often you go live? All of the things that are out of your control, we have to release the worry around, because it's not up to you whether or not it actually becomes your warmest audience, but it is up to you if you decide to nurture that space in a way that is really powerful so that it has the opportunity to become your warmest audience. No expectation, but allow the opportunity. And that opportunity happens through you taking action and doing things because you really want to, not because you're doing it based on the expectation that it's going to become your warmest audience. You can invite people in there all of the time. If they engage, out of your control. If you post in there in a way that invites them to engage, in your control. Again, it's really about that Venn diagram. It's in the integration keys if you want to jump ahead. Doing a Venn diagram, what matters, what is in your control. When those things overlap and they're in that center space of the Venn diagram, that is where your focus goes. You can't control whether or not it becomes your warmest audience, but you can choose how you nurture those people in there. You can choose the way that you show up. You can choose how often you invite people. You can choose how often you go live. You can choose how often you sell and give them exclusive deals. You can choose to do all of those things. Whether or not it actually becomes your warmest audience, not in your control. So release that expectation and do it because you really want to fucking do it, not because you're expecting it to be your warmest audience, because then you're just going to become resentful. You're going to become pissed off. You're going to be like, man, pouring all this work. And I get that. My engagement on Instagram right now has been awful. Like 200 likes on my posts, like the lowest engagement I've seen in a really long time. Like no DMs, nobody responding to anything, like nothing. It's like fucking crickets. And I get the feeling of being resentful because it's like, I'm putting so much work into this content. Like I'm pouring my heart into you. Like I'm doing all of this. But then I always bring myself back to, I'm not just doing this for other people. Although yes, I want it to connect with other people. How fun is it to scroll back to 2 years ago and see what my life was like? Like, this is for me too. I love this work. I love documenting my life. I love sharing. I love growing. I love learning. I love improving. I love being challenged with frustration so I can see the silver linings and learn how to grow through it. I love being confronted with the feeling of like, I really want to fucking quit and proving to myself that I'm not going to quit. I really love being confronted with it's not worth posting on Instagram because nobody's watching and still showing up and fucking posting and proving to myself you get to be a woman of your word. Like our perspective is so powerful. And when we can see the challenges and what feels hard as an opportunity for us to simply learn and grow and improve and have it not be about how it's received or not be about other people or not be about likes or followers or engagement, when we just fucking do it because we want to, oh my God, it gets to feel so much better. But that takes retraining the way that you think about things and retraining the way that you see things and retraining your perspective and pushing yourself when you hear those limiting beliefs to be like, okay, I'm going to prove this wrong. Like, maybe my voice in my head is telling me engagement sucks. Don't waste this content right now. But for me, it's like, no, your consistency matters on social media. I don't care if this post gets one like, you're showing up and you're posting it because it's much bigger. Everything that we're doing is so much bigger than this one moment. Everything that we're doing is so much bigger than this one post, than this one month, than this one launch, than this one year. It's so much bigger than this. When this is a passion that runs so fucking deep inside of us, it's like, it's all so much bigger than this. So show up and do it. Because in 1 year, you're going to look back and thank yourself that you stayed consistent in doing it even when you didn't feel like it, right? Brandy says, that's how I feel about my music and how far it's come. Yes, yes, yes. Just not doing it for validation. Absolutely. 100%. Okay. Nicole's question says, is it too late? I'm still having pricing identity crisis. I hate even admitting it. I want to be accessible and gain coaching experience, but I really struggle whenever I create a price. Is it too much for women who want, need the work? Is it not respective of my worth and time? Fuck, I'm sick of the internal struggle with pricing. Pep talk on becoming confident in my pricing no matter where my scale is. So I feel this, Nicole. I really do. I feel this so much. And the thing that I believe to be true about confidence is that we want to feel confident before we make the move. But I believe that our confidence grows through doing. And I will always be the person who says, like, I was totally fine pricing my things at a very low price point in the beginning. Like, if we think about MBS, $200 when I first sold it privately, $200, a one-on-one call with me, 4 weeks, a workbook mailed to you. Like, that is insane. You get to start where you're comfortable. Doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to be confident there. But I think one of the problems with this, and I get this and I respect it. So I don't ever want this to feel like I'm being judgmental and saying this because I'm not. But I do think, and this is one of the reasons I say this all the time, that I was so fucking grateful that I had no idea what was happening in the coaching industry when I started MBS, because I had no idea what somebody else would have been running MBS for. I just priced it where it felt good for me. I had no clue that people were selling things for $2,000 or $5,000 or $20,000. I was literally like in my own lane with my blinders on. It was like, what feels good for you? Like, what can you confidently say? This is what I'm charging for. And I think that what can happen is we are surrounded by other people and we allow our ego to step in and say, well, what are people going to think about you if you're charging $30 for this when somebody else is charging $3,000 for this? What is your ego going to tell you about yourself if you start down here when everybody around you is all the way up here? Are people going to judge you? Are people going to talk about you? Does that mean that you don't value your self-worth? Right? Fuck what other people are doing. I just journaled around this morning. I had a deep level of self-reflection this morning. I asked myself, would you ever, and you've seen me talk about this before, would you ever for a single second feel like you don't have enough if you didn't see what anybody else was doing? And I sat and I created a list of all of the reasons why my life is so fucking incredible. All of the reasons why my life is so fucking incredible. And I would not ever feel, and it makes me so sad, that we allow what other people are doing to steal the joy and happiness and excitement that we deserve to be feeling in our lives. That we feel like we can't just do what we are called to do because we're worried looking at what other people are doing or having or being or achieving. You are not obligated to be where somebody else is. You are not obligated to price your things where somebody else is pricing her things. I don't care if she's your mastermind sister and she's been in this as long as you and her prices are thousands of dollars and you want to start at $50. What feels good for you and fuck what other people are doing. Like this, it has to be my new mantra for the rest of the year. Like fuck what everybody else has and is doing. What do I want? I am so sick of people living to be what other people want or doing things based off of what they think other people want them to do or what they think other people are going to think of them if they don't do what the other person is doing. When you start living for and honoring your own intuition and trusting yourself and giving yourself the space to be exactly who you are and where you are right now, everything is going to be available to you. There's always room for you to raise your prices. You get to start at $50 and go to $100, and then you get to go to $500, and then you get to go to $800, and then you get to go to $1,000, and then $2,000, and then $5,000. There is so much room for you to continue to raise your prices. Do not feel like somebody next to you at the same place is pricing something at $700, so you should be pricing something at $700. I'm so fucking happy that I started the way that I did, because it allowed me to build such a reputation that now people will pay me thousands of dollars. But I didn't start there. And now, just because I have a reputation, my prices are still accessible. Many of my programs, you can get in for $400 or $500 if you're in the right place at the right time and you say yes to yourself. Do I desire to have 100K months? Sure. But do I also know that that requires my prices to be at a place where I'm just not ready to put them yet? Yes. I recognize that. So am I going to force myself to hurry up and jump to a price that I'm not ready to be at yet just because somebody else is doing it and somebody else said I should be at 100K months? No. I am in my lane and I'm going to take my time the way that I need to take my time so that I can feel so good and in such alignment with what I'm doing. This is not about other people. This is about you. Okay. Lots of comments here. I love you. I love you. I love you. I'm so happy you guys are loving this. I love being able to access your world. So, so blessed. I love you. Nicole says, damn, I'm so fucking grateful you're my coach. I love you so much. Tearing up because you see me. I do see you. And the thing is, I see every single one of you. So I don't want anyone in here who is in the beginning of their business and charging thousands of dollars to feel like I'm telling you you're wrong. I'm not telling any single one of you you're wrong. You get to be exactly where you want to be. But I want you to hear me. I want you to be where you are because it's where you want to be, not where your ego wants you to be, not where other people tell you you should be, not because you feel like you should be further along than you are, not because you're ashamed to be a beginner, not because you think people will judge you if your prices are low. I want you to be exactly where you are because it's exactly where the fuck you want to be. Period. We have to learn to tune out some of the noise and trust what our intuition is telling us and know that we have the space to grow always, always, always. Okay? You have unconditional permission to always grow, to always raise your prices, to always change your mind, to always say, this didn't work the way that I wanted to. Oh my God, I was charging too little. After I ran two sessions of MBS at $200, I remember having a conversation with my husband and I was like, this is a lot. I was like, I'm doing a lot. I got 15, 20 people in these groups and I'm doing one-on-one calls with all of them for $200. I started becoming resentful. So I said, let's raise the price. I went up to $555. I remember the first time I put on an application, I about shit myself. I was like, nobody is going to buy this. Nobody is going to want this. Nobody is going to pay me for this. And I continued with it and I kept showing up and I kept selling it and people bought it. Then I raised the price to $888. And then I raised the price to $999. And then I raised the price to $1,111. Then I raised the price to $1,300. Now the price is $1,500. 2 years it took me to go from $200 to $1,500 for a powerful 4-week experience. I always have permission to continue to raise my prices. I have permission for a situation or a program to not go the way I wanted it to and to look and say, I didn't charge enough. I feel undervalued. I feel resentful. So I'm going to raise my price. But we don't know what we don't know. You do not know until you try. So let's get out of our heads. Let's be decisive. Let's trust our intuition and let's just fucking make the moves. Because what is worse than overthinking for the next 6 months and not putting anything out there because you can't land on a price that you feel confident around, when you could have just started a little bit lower than you feel confident around, got fuck yes people in, and then the next month raise your prices? No more holding ourselves back. Decisiveness, decisiveness, decisiveness. You get to do, every single one of you. I support you in whatever decisions you make for you. but I want them to really be decisions for you, not because you think it's what you're supposed to do based off of what other people around you are doing, whether they're here at the same point in their business or months or years or decades ahead of you. Do it because you want to do it, okay? You're so welcome. I'm so happy that you asked that question, Nicole. I love you all. This was very powerful. I will add this to the guide section for those of you who are catching the replay. Share takeaways in the comments. Come into Voxer if you need follow-up support. I love you. I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.